The following podcast is a Super Network production with your hosts, Super Marcy.
Look at it, it's so cute.
The terrible Australian, Bea Jamine.
As Nicolas Cage, I should have played Tom Sawyer in this movie. But then they asked me and I was like, that's too typical of a role. I actually want to play the role of the submarine.
It contains coarse and explicit language.
That was a at the time.
Mature themes.
I mean, if the octopus in Aquaman can do it, so can Adam Sandler.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
For more, please visit supermarcy.com and show your support at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy the show.
G'day everyone, this is Bea Jamine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome back to the bi-monthly audio commentary edition of the Super Podcast, the fan-voted one, I should say. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy, how are you?
Hey, hey, I'm here and I'm ready for our brand new schedule with the fan-voted audio commentaries, where we will be coming to everybody every 2 months, because we like switching things up here.
Indeed, indeed, because we had with the Super Podcast, did mostly monthly commentaries, but we thought we kind of want to get back into kind of mix it up a little bit by doing topic shows and all that, so we're just going to be doing the fan-voted ones every 2 months now, and we have quite a big one tonight, because the one for this episode, the theme is Christopher Walken.
And
our fans of the Super Podcast have picked quite the movie for us to do a commentary tonight. But before we get to it, we have a very special guest, Marcy.
We do. I'm very excited for this special guest.
Indeed. What makes this... he's a first-time guest who has never been on any of our shows. But I will say this, though. This is going to be an interesting one because, Marcy, now everybody knows that you're one of my best mates. And but this other person who's coming on... This man who's coming on as a guest tonight is my other best mate, who I have known since we were kids. And that, of course, is Mr. Todd Yates. Hello, Todd. How are you?
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me on.
See, Todd, how does it feel? Because you and I have known each other since we were very young. How does it feel finally coming on a show I've been telling you about for about over 13 years now? But also meeting my other bestie, Super Marcy, who's my co-host.
It's great. Well, thank you for managing to squeeze me in.
I'm just happy to be here.
This is my chance to become famous. So I'm all for it.
Indeed.
Well,
yes, we try to do our best, but based on the downloads we get every week with all of our shows, quite a lot of people listen to this show. We won't get into the numbers specifically, but that's a whole different story.
But thank you for listening to all our listeners. We appreciate it and we love you.
Indeed, indeed. And you're like I said, Todd, you're on quite the episode tonight because this is our Christopher Walken themed fan voted commentary edition of this show. We're not even 5 minutes of this episode. I'm already messing up, but that's
you got a lot of pressure on you. Your two best friends have finally met and are here.
Indeed,
the pressure's
indeed.
On, yes. Man.
The bare knuckle boxing will start very shortly.
Yeah.
It's basically going to be turned into Thunderdome for my friendship in this episode. This Christopher Walken themed episode of the show.
Yes.
We put the poll out there on the Super Network Facebook group with a collection of 6 films starring the great Christopher Walken. And we asked our fans to vote which one they would like us to do a commentary for. And the ones that we had on the poll were of course, Communion, The Country Bears, The Prophecy, Cannontails, Puss in Boots, The Stepford Wives remake, and Wayne's World 2. And the winner of the poll was Wayne's World 2.
I have a bone to pick with our poll voters. I really do.
Indeed.
Why did you all not vote for Cannontails Puss in Boots? Because it is a classic. It is incredible. Christopher Walken plays Puss in Boots. It does not get much better than that. But
I would be so there for that.
And it's a
Wade's World Tour is fine.
Yes.
But Pussy Boots, amazing.
Well, to be fair, Marcy, we do have our other show.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we have our other show, the Tubi Tuesdays podcast.
To be fair.
And that movie is on Tubi, so we may even just do that for an episode at some point. So.
Well, hopefully it stays on long enough, because people need to know about that movie.
Indeed, but tonight's film, of course, is Wade's World 2. And I'm very excited to do a commentary for this film, because I have a lot of love for the second film. And this. I do love the first film, but I've always been more partial for the second one, and I hope you guys feel the same way as I do.
I've actually only seen this movie once, I think. So, and it's been a long time. So this will almost be like a fresh view for me. So I'm really looking forward to getting into it again.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's been a while for me. I haven't seen either of them for several years, so I'm probably, like, not going to remember anything that happens in this movie, so it's going to be a surprise.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's almost a fresh view.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, and I guess because I used to watch, out of the two films, I would watch this one a lot. So I pretty much know everything about this film, like, from start to finish, in terms of, like, all the scenes and everything. So
when I get confused, you should know what's going on.
Exactly.
Because chances are I'll be confused for no reason.
Well, that, definitely, for sure. But we'll get started. And for all of our listeners out there who haven't listened to our previous audio commentaries of the Super Podcast, first of all, how dare you? but second of all, what you need to do is look up the film Wayne's World 2. And if you're one of our listeners in Australia, the film is currently playing on Stan, so you can watch that there along with the first film as well. And what we're going to do is we're going to play the film from the very start. And when I count down from 5 and then say go, that's when you play the movie, and that way our audio commentary will be in sync with the film. But I'm pretty sure, though, even if you don't have a copy of this film or if it's not streaming anywhere near you, I'm pretty sure the episode itself will still be a fun listen to regardless. So let's get right to it. So Marcy and Todd, are you both ready to get your worlds rocked by Wade's World 2?
I think so.
Party on, Wayne.
Well, alrighty, let's party on. Yes. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
The last off.
I like the part where you said that you're going to start it at the beginning. That's probably a good decision.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, it depends on the copy, because some places in the world might have something else at the beginning of their credits, so it's always good to kind of specify when exactly.
I have to put the volume down slightly. It's a bit loud.
Don't mind me, I'm just gonna rock out.
That's all I'm doing for the episode. Yeah.
Do.
Mike Myers and Dana Carvey. I mean, this feels like Tubi Tuesday, because this is a sequel. And we only ever seem to do sequels on that show. All right.
Oh man, I don't remember Christopher Walken being in this at all. That's how long it's been since I've seen it.
I'm kind of almost there with you, because I don't remember him at all. I don't remember this movie that well. And I have seen it, like, many times, but it's been a long time. Bede, are you there? You're very quiet.
Oh, sorry, I'm sort of lagging slightly on my end. So, if I sound like I'm a bit quiet, that's only why, but...
Well, you gotta speak up, brother.
Okay, now the movie's in proper speed now. It probably took a second to kind of catch up.
Aerosmith was in this movie? I really don't remember this movie.
They're all credited rather than just the individual band members.
Yeah. Now, is there any reason why Bede's World doesn't exist on community TV?
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, the question is, though, who, if there was a Bede's World TV show, who would it star? Would it be, like, you and me, Marcy, or would it be me and Todd? And would we have a 60s Batman style?
Yes, we would have that.
Like,
Yes.
Like a pole in our in the basement.
It certainly seems like something that you and I probably should have done in the years leading up to now.
I'm surprised we haven't done it at this point.
I'm not sure our hometown had community TV either, so...
Well, I know Melbourne does. Like, there is a community television network here.
Yes.
That you could easily get a TV show
on. You say that now, and then they'd reject it, like, 50 times.
Well, that is true.
Where is Tia Carrere these days?
I have no idea.
Oh, she sort of pops up here and there every now and again, but not as
I remember watching.
Beats frozen a bit. Love it.
That's that awesome Melbourne internet.
I mean, mine's working all right, and I'm on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, there's no excuse for this.
No.
So that was a lot of fun.
I missed half of what you said, Mead.
We missed everything you said right up until that was a lot
that
of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll say it again. A little while back, Tia Carrere came to a convention, and you were there with me, Marcy. And I was in line, and there were these two guys dressed up as Wayne and Garth.
Oh, that's
they
right.
went into the booth to get her photo done, and then... And outside, you could hear them just yelling, "We're not worthy, we're not worthy."
That's right, I remember that.
That's awesome.
And then I went inside, and then she was like all excited. It's like, "Oh, did you see the two guys dress up as waiting up?" It's like, "Oh, yeah." And they sort of chatted for a bit, and they got the photo. And yeah, she was really nice.
What do you think was peak Tia Carrere? What movie...
Ooh. Probably.
Ooh, that is...
I always think of her in True Lies. When I hear her,
yeah.
True Lies.
I mean, I think the first one of this. True Lies would be another one.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. Definitely the first one for this as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's not really in this one much, is she?
Oh, she is, but she much. Definitely appeared more prominently in the first movie.
Was the first one, like, Rob Lowe was the villain character?
Yeah, he was the douchebag guy.
Yeah. See, I've probably mixed them both up because
yeah, he was
I think
the,
I used to watch
the
them
main
together.
Bad guy.
Yeah, I think I used to watch them together.
And
is there a reason why all, like, drive-thrus don't have a big face that moves when you go through?
Because
I because
it's
cool.
fucking freaky, that's why.
Exactly. And I do like the fact that it's a drive-thru for a donut place.
I think Adelaide has a drive-thru Krispy Kreme for some reason.
Yeah, Krispy Kreme is probably the only donut drive-thru, right? Because you've got Donut King, which don't do drive-thru. You've got Wendy's. Is Wendy's still around?
I don't know.
Because Australian
maybe American,
Wendy's
but
is completely different to American Wendy's.
Yeah, it's not American Wendy's. Yeah. We don't do hamburgers here.
No, there's no square hamburgers.
Although I did like the gag back there while they're drive-thru because they're deliberately trying to muck up their order.
Mm.
And then the guy in the till's like, "Oh yeah, I got your order." Even when...
I remember back in school, one of the... Wayne's World isms that made its way into schoolyard vernacular was shwing. It was like, shwing.
Yeah.
Shwing. Yes. Oh, that dude's hair's on fire.
And he doesn't give a shit.
Oh, yeah. Aerosmith.
Oh, here we go.
It's Luke.
Aerosmith making an appearance.
No, that's Luke Tyler. Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, Booby Fair.
Yeah. I mean,
Dan
even though
Garvey,
he can
carry this movie just with his facial expressions.
Oh yeah, he is amazing in this movie.
It's just a shame they kind of wasted his good talents in something as terrible as The Master of Disguise.
Well, that too. That's...
Which,
let's have a speak of that.
I never saw that movie, but it looked terrible.
My
from
tweet
the
about that movie probably got me the most action ever on Twitter because Brent Spiner responded, and then everyone came after me, and I'm like, it was a joke. He even understands it's a joke.
Yeah, because you said like Brent Spiner, from what I remember. Brent Spiner, why did you star in Master of Disguise? And he.
I said, did you really need a paycheck or something, you know, silly, and, yeah.
And he said back to you from what I remember, so, well, I wanted to star in a quote-unquote classic.
Classic, yeah.
That reminds me of the Michael Caine Jaws the Revenge conversation when somebody asked him what he thought about the movie. And he said he loved it because it bought him his fourth beach house or something.
It bought me my Italian summer home, and I love it. Leave Jaws Revenge alone, everyone.
But how could we...
Jaws the Revenge was the first Jaws movie I ever saw.
I think it was mine too, surprisingly.
It was
the shit out of me.
It was the fourth Jaws movie I saw. I watched them in order.
What? Why is there a goat at the concert?
I haven't been to a concert in a very long time, so I don't know what the norm is.
This was the 90s, man. Yeah. Anything goes.
And someone brought a fridge, and they just like during the mosh pit.
I don't think that song is very appropriate anymore. I have a feeling.
No, it has not aged well.
No.
Yeah, but we'll still rock out to it if it ever plays. Because it's so catchy.
I think... When you hear it in the context of when it's out, I'm guessing androgyny was kind of big then, so...
Yeah, I think that was what the song was making fun of, was the androgyny.
But I mean,
Androgyny style that was at the time.
You look at the 70s and 80s with androgyny, and you're like, how can you, like, everybody saw all this stuff, it was so fabulous, why are people having a big go about... everything else going on. Like, shut up, piss off, let people do what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get all opinionated on this podcast.
He's our boy.
Wow! Hello!
Scooch closer.
We're at the bows.
I gotta read Goodnight Morn.
Beat, it's your favourite trope in a movie.
I love that.
Yeah.
Come, children, scooch closer.
Scooch closer. That dude back there with the balding hair, but the long hair.
I don't know why people have that hairstyle where it's like bald on top, but like has a big massive ponytail at the back. It just doesn't work.
It's sexy, bro.
Here we go.
We're not worthy.
I would totally do that to Aerosmith. It probably does happen to him on occasion.
I'm waiting for the day someone does that to me.
Is it Alice Cooper in the first one?
Yeah, Alice Cooper was in the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
So, B.
We're big.
Sorry.
Yes.
What does Garth classify as? Because is he a nerd because of the glasses?
I don't know.
But he rocks out and stuff, so he's not quite nerdy. But he's awkward with women, so.
Hmm.
If you can play the drums the way Garth can, you are no nerd.
That is true.
Swing!
Sorry, I was just distracted that Heather Locklear was
there. How many Heather Locklear movies are we going to watch in the next week? This is number two.
Indeed. Heather be my name.
I was watching Scrubs a little while ago, and she did a brief stint on Scrubs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And yeah, she was guest character for a couple episodes. And she looks no different there than she does here. It's amazing.
Yes, on this week's Stupid Tuesdays podcast, you can listen to us talk about Heather Locklear in The Return of Swamp Thing.
Oh, well, okay, here we go. Here come some real nerds.
There's
right
your
here.
Favorite.
Now, we are talking now.
Come on, Beach, say the line.
Fucking nerds.
Attaboy.
Holy shit! Is that dude on the right...
That's Bob Odenkirk! Yes! I was going to say, that's Better Call Saul.
Yeah, that's him. I couldn't think of the name. I was just thinking...
Right! We all had that, like... We knew it was someone.
I was, like, looking at it, I was like, holy shit, that is Bob Odenkirk.
Well, up until recently, I think he's been a fucking nerd.
Yeah, well he was a nerd at the time when he made this movie, but now he's like, but we can't mess with Bob Odenkirk anymore because he could kick our ass. I saw that film, Nobody, and he's an action star.
Well, did he have like a heart attack or something? And
he had something happened to him.
And he was like, he was ended up being okay, I think.
Yeah, he had a heart attack.
Bloody hell, dude.
Yep.
He seems like a really cool dude.
Mm.
Yes.
Based on his.
Oh, yes, this has all the weird Vision Quest thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it takes it off from. Like, they take off the doors, because they'd also had, like, a weird naked Native American character in that movie as well. They go on a vision quest.
Mm. For some reason.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I have, like, brief memories of this movie.
I just don't remember anything about this at all.
Okay, follow me. I'll lead you to the set of Dune.
I still haven't seen it.
Come on, Wayne. Find your soulmate.
You're not Val Kilmer.
We've met Val Kilmer.
I know. Cool.
Wayne.
What is... You know what I find it? I'm going to have to look up because there's an interesting bit of trivia on Wayne's World 2. That I find very interesting.
You are the trivia man, after all.
Is that originally this movie did not have the plot that it had now. It had a completely different plot that they actually scrapped before filming.
Oh, why is that?
Okay, I'll have to read this. So here's how it goes. Mike Myers' original script for Wayne World 2 had Wayne and Garth forming their own country and succeeding... succeeding? Or whatever, from the US after finding an ancient scroll in a story taken from the 1949 British comedy Passport to Palenko. This version was well into pre-production before it came to light that the studio had no idea that the script was based on a previous film and thus had not obtained the rights to that film. Production was immediately halted and the director said, "I could hear the chainsaws literally chopping the sets down." And the studio head was reportedly furious with Mike Myers and threatened to ruin his life and career if he did not immediately produce a new script.
That original script sounds weird.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would have played.
Mm.
Yeah, and this movie was like in quick succession because the first film only literally came out just over a year before this one.
How's that a sign?
Oh, yes.
I just want a Wade's World cap. Is that so much to ask?
I'm sure you could get one.
I will.
Just buy one from wish.com.
You'll probably get it and it'll say Wank's World on the hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Ew.
Hey, we looked at Wish. We know what's on there. If you want to see what Bede and I found
on
Wish.
Stuff on Wish.
Man, I've seen some of the stuff Wish tries to sell people. Yes. I don't know what's worse, what they sell or the people who are willing to buy it.
If you want to see our adventures on Wish, check out the After Dark with Super Marcy podcast and all that. Thank you.
That wasn't our self-promotion at all on my own show.
What I love about this whole sequence is basically they have Wayne and Garth like, what are you guys doing? It's like, oh, we're setting up all this stuff, making sure all these chickens and boxes and this glass is going back and forth across the street because there's going to be an action set piece happening through here later.
There's our boy again.
Look at me. We need more cowbell for this recording session.
Why is his tie tucked into his pants?
It was the style at the time.
I'm going to say the same thing I said before. It was the 90s.
Now it's untucked.
See what everyone did with ties was that if you wanted to be cool, you had to put them into your pants, which would make everyone look around you, just look at you and go, wow, I need more cowbell. Because that's where the tie is going to.
I gotta say, one fashion I really don't want to see ever come back is the double-breasted suit. The double-breasted blazer. It looks ridiculous. It looks way too big. No.
You have a look at anything from the 90s, though, especially films from the 90s, with guys walking around in suits. The suits look like they're two sizes too big for the guys.
Right? Like, seriously.
Does no one have tailors back then?
No. I mean, we're noticing that in a lot of movies we're watching recently. The oversized suits.
Yes.
American Psycho is a good example. Lots of guys in suits in that film. Van Halen.
Wow, Van Halen, who else? Who else? Wow. What?
What? No. That's the name of the band. Aren't you a fan of theirs? I'm a huge fan of them.
That's right. I'm kind of remembering this a bit more now.
I think another interesting thing is Christopher Walken was a very last-minute addition to this film because I think Mike Myers wanted Rob Lowe to come back for this film to play that character, but as a different character, not the same one from the first film. Mm. But Rob turned it down because he felt like it might be too confusing to the audience. So that's when they got Christopher Walken to come in and to play the part.
I love Rob Lowe. That guy's got so much range.
I see, you want me to say what? But really, I should say wow! Christopher Walken is just having way too much fun in this role.
I'm just sad he didn't reprise his role as of Max Schreck.
Yes.
Why is there a Foster's ad?
I love the shot. I love the shot of that jet just on a string.
Oh. Beats frozen again.
At least it's a nice image of
him. At least he's laughing in the
frozen. He looks like he's having a good time.
Maybe that's why he froze.
Oh.
Are you back?
He's back.
Back again. Gone again.
Oh, he's gone.
It's just me and you now. It's the two besties.
Now the real fight can begin.
Oh, no.
Hey, Nicolas Cage has just joined.
I'm here. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
We gotcha.
Can hear you.
I might just turn my video off just so I can talk.
What the?
This is my favorite character in the whole movie, Del Preston, played by Ralph Brown. I don't know what's going on here. Why am I upside down?
I totally forgot about this.
And the thing is, Ralph Brown, his character, Del, is basically the same character that he played in another film called With Nail and I. It's the exact same character, just with a different name. And I'm just going to stand here upside down, because I'm cool.
Hmm.
Is this the guy that Russell Brand basically based his whole life on?
Oh, it should be. I would be surprised if it is. You're going to think I'm nuts, but someone visited me in a dream and told me that Del Preston would help. It wasn't Val Kilmer. It was some dude pretending to be Jim Morrison. I don't know what that is. I don't even know who you people are. How the fuck did you get inside my house? I'm going to have to call the cops.
I don't think he wants to call the cops. I reckon he'd have some dodgy shit in his house.
Exactly.
Like drugs? Probably got drugs stashed in the dishwasher.
There's probably drugs in the VHS player.
I was going to say the exact same thing. And there's probably some of that trophy in the background. Oh no, they photoshopped me into that picture.
Very early Photoshop.
Yes. That early Photoshop looks more authentic than, like, current Photoshop.
It depends on the Photoshopper.
Mm.
That is true.
Not everybody.
If you're talking Photoshop. North Korean Photoshop, then yes, you're right. This does look better.
Mm.
Oh, okay then.
I just like all the hair in this movie.
I think most of it is wigs, if that makes you feel any better.
I think, well, I know for Dana Carvey and Mike Myers, their hair is definitely wigs. Which makes a lot of sense because Mike Myers always had short hair, so.
It's very obviously wigs.
Yes. I had the same dream.
So good.
And here comes that plane again, held by the string.
So
and it's a virgin too, and it's like on backwards, the virgin side.
Did you get the tape? Wow.
Also, did you get me that golden watch? I need to go see a little boy to talk with his dad about it.
That's a bit creepy, I don't like that.
Also, I need to... Since I'm in the recording studio, get me the country bars.
With some cowbell.
Cowbell. Roar. And she'll marry me because I'm Christopher Walken. See, that dude needs to cut his hair. It's not working for me. I don't like it. Meanwhile, over at this place, at this
the donut tea shop.
I like that they sell tea in proper, you know, proper tea wear.
And, you know, gets brought out by the waitress.
Yeah.
In a teapot.
I also love this, the story Del tells because it just starts off really funny and then it just takes a dark turn. He's got a bloody Bengal tiger.
Well, we all watched Tiger King, so we know how that goes.
It was owned by some little weird guy named Joe Exotic.
I feel like this is a sin, but I have not watched Tiger King.
Ooh. You'll have to watch it, because you'll be going, like, what the fuck every 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
So basically, he just admitted out loud in front of all these people he murdered a father and son with their own shoes. And they're just clapping along.
Well, they put on a great show. That's the moral of the story.
Exactly. I don't know where that is. I just pointed on the map, but I thought it sounded cool.
I think we'll just listen to you do his accent.
It's probably the most accurate person.
The bloke who's playing Del, is that... Is that the dude from Alien 3?
Yeah, and he was also in The Phantom Menace as well.
Yeah, he was the pilot.
Mm. Ed O'Neill.
Well, at this point, he would have been Ted Bundy.
Yeah, I think he was
still... Ted Bundy? Al Bundy? Fuck me, that was wrong.
I don't want to watch that show, Marcy, if he's playing Ted Bundy.
I would watch
I meant Al Bundy, not Ted Bundy. Fucking hell. I have not watched Married with Children for a long time.
In the first scene, he just murders his wife.
His wife. Poor Peggy.
He's just had enough of her shit.
Poor Ted.
Well, that's the thing. In the first film, he has a much larger role, but I think in this one, that was like he just had more of a cameo in this one.
I remember this.
If we sound a bit quiet during the commentary, people, it's because we're also watching the movie at the same time.
Yeah, this
so.
Is a riff on Jurassic Park.
And this was just off not long after the movie came out because it was 93.
I think it's the same dinosaur from Tammy and the T-Rex.
It probably is. I can't turn it off. I can't turn it off. And that, and it stopped raining.
Kevin
Pollak. See, that's when you know, because the first film was so successful, they were like, let's get everyone in this movie.
Yeah, everyone literally came into this movie.
Exactly.
Love his comb over.
He's just playing Matt Murdock right here.
This is pre-Usual Suspects, Kevin.
That's the normal. This is the normal reaction anyone has when they're listening to Kenny G.
Poor Kenny G. What did he ever do to you?
Oh man,
my fault.
Look at his face.
Dana Carvey should just win an Oscar just for his facial expressions alone. It's for the pot festival. Permit applications. Something tells me this woman might be Garth's future love interest.
I'm pretty sure that's his long lost sister, but we won't go there.
If those two get together, they'll basically be like the Van Houtens from The Simpsons. They just look way too much alike.
I'm pretty sure the Van Houtens are brother and sister.
They probably are.
Is that why it didn't work out?
Yes.
Look, at least Cletus and his partner are open about that.
Hey, Brandine.
Brandine. Your
sister, right?
Hey, Brandine, I don't want to make you in front of your parents. Now, them's your parents, too.
One thing I've noticed, like, a lot through Michael Myers. Not Michael Myers, sorry. That'd have been completely
Michael
different.
Myers. I think it'd be a bit Michael, stabby,
so far,
mate.
So far, we've had Ted Bundy, Michael Myers. Any other killers we'd like to talk about in this pod?
Yeah, yes. Well, I was going to say, Mike Myers, if you watch a lot of his films, you'll notice there's always the same kind of running gags for a lot of his films. Like, this section here with the guy, with Kevin Pollak having two different coloured eyes, is kind of similar to, like, the mole joke in Goldmember.
It is. Molly. Was it Molly, Fred Savage?
It was Fred Savage.
Yes, it was. And I think what makes that scene so funny is that Fred Savage's, like, awkwardness just sells it so good.
Yeah.
While Kevin Pollak's just standing there looking like, I just want to just slap the shit out of you two right about now.
This is giving me, like his eye is giving me flashbacks of, what's his name? With the funky eyes in The Last Action Hero.
Oh, yeah,
I was just about
right.
to say Charles Dance.
Charles Dance,
yes.
Yeah. Charles
Dance. This is the weirdest sex scene ever.
Is that how you learned to have sex?
Totally. I learned everything about sex from this film.
So you just flop on top of someone and call it a day?
And just wear clothes.
It's called the dolphin.
And he also wears his hat in bed. You got to give him respect.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody buys vitals anymore. Like, vitals are going to come back in fashion 20-odd years later.
My father-in-law still has vinyls.
Who would have thought vitals would come back into fashion? It still kind of buzzes my mind. And they sell more than CDs, which makes it even more funnier.
I want them to bring back cassette tapes.
No, they need to bring vinyl.
Go ahead.
I think it's because vinyl has a very unique sound.
Mm,
yeah,
it does.
That can't be replicated as well, I think, digitally.
I sort of realized that I quote a lot of lines from this movie. That one, if joke in particular, I was like, I think I quoted it like literally just a couple months back. And they tell their friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell four friends. And so on and so forth. And my hat. It's very obvious. It's very obvious, like, Mike Myers' hair is attached to his hat. It just looks weird the way the hat is sitting on top of his head.
Yeah. It looks awkward. It fits on his head very awkwardly.
Mm.
Guy I went to school with, like, I don't know if it's because he used to watch this movie a lot or not, but the way he used to talk, very much, like, the cadence of his voice was very Wayne-like.
Oh.
Mm. Never noticed it until now.
Oh. Interesting.
I won't mention his name.
Oh, hello. It's, Kim Basinger.
What the hell was I about to call her?
Basinger?
I have no idea. I think I was going to say Kim Basinger in one go.
I like how we don't know if it's Basinger or Basinger. It was all just like a joke in The Simpsons. Is it Basinger or Basinger? It's Basinger.
You know what? I always come back to that episode.
Yeah.
And it must be Basinger because she says it in The Simpsons.
Yeah. Bean, like how... Are you allowed to go to a movie on a school night?
No, unfortunately, my parents told me no. Because I have to go to work the next day.
Mm.
Such a square.
And also, her name is Honey Hornet.
Miss Hornet.
Would you like some licorice? That's not how you eat licorice.
I don't think that's the point.
I don't think that's what she's actually intending to do, Bean.
Garth literally is me, like, 15 years ago.
Dude, that's you now, as soon as a girl looks at you.
Well, that is true.
Okay, here's another question for you both.
Yes.
What do you think was peak Basinger?
Ooh.
It had to be LA Confidential.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hands that was down. Very much peak, yeah.
I need to watch that movie again.
I haven't seen it for a long time.
Although I found out that it's on Disney Plus now, so I'll have to rewatch it.
Lots of stuff on Disney Plus now.
Yeah, I know, it's weird.
Mm.
It's all their Stars content.
Mm. Exactly.
We've got adult stuff now, too.
So much Nicolas Cage on there, it's great.
I know.
Look at the little shrunk clothes!
That's baby wear.
Look how he's awkward, just like...
Apparently, from what I've read... Dana Carvey, when Mike Myers was working on the script, he was like reading it and realized, oh, there's not really that much Garth in the script. So Mike Myers added this whole subplot with Garth.
Look
and
at the little undies.
Look how tiny they are. Oh, their bums touched.
Ooh.
Yeah, it makes you kind of think maybe Mike Myers is a bit of an egomaniac since he left out a lot of Garth.
Yeah, I think Mike Myers does admit, I was a bit of an egomaniac back in that time.
Mm.
But I think he's mellowed out a lot more since then. Wow, this is my watch from Pulp Fiction.
I still can't get over the fact that Mike Myers was in a Quentin Tarantino movie.
I know, right?
Yeah, I forget he was in that.
You forget right up until that scene, and then you're
until
like,
until you see
holy
it,
shit.
And then it's like, wait, what?
Oh, he's doing a precursor as Shrek's voice as the leprechaun.
Oh, true. Don't care.
And also, like, Leprechaun, the movie, came out the same year too, so they definitely were like, we got to put all these references to movies that came out in 93 in this one.
Where's my lucky charms?
Really? Wow.
Oh, Chris Walken's just like, what the fuck is this?
Wow, the show, it's ridiculous and stupid. They're not as sharp as my hair or my
mask. Yeah, that hair is just stealing the show.
Yes.
His slick hair.
The greaser look.
Yes. But who doesn't love Christopher Walken? He's just a legend. I will legit cry when Christopher Walken does die. No, that man should just live forever. And speaking of legends, James Hogg. That's Mr. James Wong. James Hong for you. Now, for anyone out there who doesn't know who James Hong is, Exactly. James Hong is a legend. He's 93 now, and he was recently in a film that I've seen just the other week called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, and he's great in it. But he is... How many credits does he have?
He's got a lot, I think.
Because he's been acting for, like, forever. And, of course, my phone decides to slow down before giving me the information.
You have shocking internet, mate.
Tell me.
Well, I think it's... Yes. But
tell me.
Yes.
Is this James Hong? And I've probably seen him in a bunch of stuff. But is this the guy who was the maitre d' at the Chinese restaurant in that Seinfeld episode?
I believe he might have, because he has like 450 credits.
I think he was in that episode.
I'll find out.
To be fair.
He utters, if it is him, he utters one of the most famous lines in Seinfeld.
Let me see.
Yeah, Chinese restaurant episode.
Yep, he was in an episode of Seinfeld. That's him. Right.
Yeah.
But also, he's been in a ton of stuff. He's like voiced a character. He's been in, like, you know, Big Trouble in Little China, Tango and Cash, and what else has he been in? I'm just, like, going through his entire filmography right about now. The Shadow. He was in The Shadow.
I love The Shadow when I was growing up. Shadow. That was the best. As a kid, I have not seen that for years.
Do you remember, B, that you and I went through a phase where... Did we watch it? We watched it together or something? Or
yeah, and we kept
Googling that scene where he goes, he's in the back of the car and he's like, "The Shadow knows," and he starts laughing. And just we're just pissing ourselves laughing when he does the laugh. So good.
See, we might have to do a commentary for The Shadow.
We kind of have to. I've wanted to rewatch it as a commentary for years.
Yeah, that would be so good.
Oh, Marcy, he was also in another commentary we've done, Tank Girl. He was also in that, James Hong. He's been in everything. Pretty much, like I said, when you have 450 acting credits to your name, you probably have been in every single movie and TV show that's ever been made.
This scene is just ridiculous.
It's so stupid. But it's great.
Yes. Clearly sort of taking off Hong Kong films.
Yeah,
especially like from the 60s and 70s. Especially, like, with the dubbing, it's hilarious.
They do the dubbing joke, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Yes? Can I call you back? I am on the other line. That is a gag that always makes me laugh, no matter how many times I see it.
Yes. Anything with dubbing is always hilarious.
He just kicked him in the dick.
And his balls fell out.
Hey, it was Gold Member.
Oh my gosh, you're right. It's like a precursor. Oh.
Oh my
god. So
oh my god, that's so weird.
I used to say that all the time. I used to go, "Zang."
So, what was the plot of the movie?
It's them organizing a concert. Because Jim Morrison told them to.
That was like ages ago. And you can totally tell.
See, this is the funny thing. This is definitely not aged well, this scene. This is the funny thing about this film. Like, they do have a plot, but you can obviously tell, like, this one was, like, very much rushed together because it's basically, like, a ton of, like, vignettes and sketches that are surrounding the main plot of the film. Oh, he's telling the story again.
Chris Farley.
The man himself.
And he was in the first film as well, although he was... I believe he was playing a different character in the first film. And he's got epic hair too.
How good was Chris Farley?
He was.
Oh, yeah. taken way too soon.
It's really sad when you look back on his struggle with drugs.
Yeah.
Like, you look back at his comedy and you sort of go, okay, it makes sense. He was obviously doing a lot of stuff.
Hello, comrades. I'm comrade Christopher Walken.
I don't feel comfortable being in this club.
In this Russian bar. This is where all the, like, the pro-Russian people go to at the moment.
Yeah, apparently.
Everyone is
drinking in that communism propaganda, like, you know.
All Russians are allowed to come here, except for Ukrainians. Living on your own definitely has its
perks. Shwing, you know, because your mom doesn't tell you. Shwing.
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 Oh, shwing, shwing.
Shwing. I like how he's just going shwing and then just going back to his conversation.
Just goes right back into the conversation.
Shwing, yeah. Shwing. See, this is one of those movies where it literally is a gag every 10 seconds.
It is.
Yeah.
And he's still telling the story to Chris Farley. And Chris Farley looks terrified.
His face is brilliant.
And there's that guy, Lee Tergesen, who's in, like, everything as well, as one of the, Wayne Garth's friend.
He was in, one of my favourite TV shows, Oz. And he was in, a Masters of Horror that we
watched, yeah.
But I can't remember which one it was now.
We all screamed for ice cream.
That's it. We didn't think much of that one.
I remember when you, got that first Masters of Horror collection, Beto.
Yes.
With that, was it Jennifer?
Yeah, ugh, Jennifer.
Don't talk about that.
Oh, God.
Bede's favorite sexy lady with the very weird face.
Well, you just had to put a bag over her head and
it was
just all right.
Nightmare fuel, her face.
Oh, jeez. This scene is like, ouch. So much Russian propaganda and communism. I don't feel comfortable with any of this.
This is what it feels like being on, you know, whatever section of Twitter we're calling the people that do this crap.
Russian bots.
They're pro-Russia for some reason, but they don't believe in medical science or facts.
Yes.
I
forgot it. This movie's a good excuse for Christopher Walken to dance in the film.
He tries to dance in everything.
Yes.
And I remember there was a reason that he did, because I think he was a trained dancer or something.
Yeah, he was.
And nothing will ever beat the Weapon of Choice music video.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's like peak Christopher Walken dancing.
I mean, whatever they're doing right now, so.
Yeah. But also, you gotta remember, like, I would say this was like Christopher Walken at his peak, because, like, he was in his early 50s, but he's still, like, you know, a very sexy man at this point in, like, his career.
Excuse me, the sexiest thing he ever did was Puss in Boots. Don't tell me otherwise.
Yes. I like how it's like... Sorry, go ahead.
You were very cut up about the fact that the masses didn't vote for that, aren't you?
Yes.
I am really sore about that.
See, Marcy, you can have your revenge by picking it for Tubi Tuesday.
I will.
It's still on Tubi.
I will. It is a fabulous movie.
I like how all the M&Ms are all in separate, like...
Yeah, because he just wanted brown ones. He said that earlier.
Yeah, he's chasing brown. Yeah.
I want M&Ms down. I don't have any.
Oh, so good.
I mean, I did make some chocolate today. Meanwhile, Wayne's sister...
Well, Garth's sister.
I mean, Garth's sister. Yeah, so I made some... put some chocolate in Easter molds.
Yes.
Practicing for Easter time.
Oh. I like.
Yeah, I want some chocolate.
And meanwhile, it's some random sketch scene that has nothing to do with the main plot.
Does anything, though? He's just spying on his girlfriend because he's a weird stalker.
Oh, jeez. Mike Myers has the same mo I have right now.
I was about to say, that's like you when you put that wig on.
Yes. That's the AP Charlie look, Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
Which we can't divulge on this podcast, because that's a top secret project.
Yeah, even though you just said the name, but whatever.
Yes. LA.
Here's my number. Call me maybe.
I'll send you a DVD copy of Puss in Boots.
I want Puss in Boots on 4K.
Yes.
Does this camera have enough lenses? Also, how does Wayne afford that camera with that lens?
He stole it.
And he also has his own TV show. Uh-oh. Something familiar about that spy up there on the telephone pole.
What is he doing? Like, this is creepy shit, man.
This is a lack of trust.
Mm. Exactly. I don't know why that line reading this made me laugh. Wait, let's run away. I don't know why they're like...
Why are they dressed like the village people? Village people.
Yeah, I just noticed that.
It just occurred to me.
Quick, everybody, run. Christopher Walken is running after us. Which is ironic, because his last name's Walken.
Oh, Jesus. I am so confused, but again, this movie doesn't really have a plot, does it?
Yeah. I think the first film had more of a plot than the second film
does. Is
this
a gay bar?
It is a gay
bar. Yeah, it is a gay bar.
Yeah. That's... You can see where this gag was heading.
Let's not be homophobic movie.
I don't think the scene
was...
It was
the 90s, it's gotta be, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, toolbox. It's called the toolbox.
That doesn't look too bad so far. There's not that many stereotypes from the look of everything. Everyone's like dressed in flannel. Except for that dude right there. Wow.
I thought that was neon penises.
That's what they
watch. Oh, I remember this now. Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Got this on standby.
Yeah.
It is pretty good comedy, though, these gags.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, rolls into the next gag so smoothly.
Oh, yeah. I think
I
that's
like
kind
that
of
they
what...
perform the song.
I think that's kind of like what Mike Myers as a comic, as a comedian and as a comic genius is like he knows how to kind of really kind of start off a joke and it just weaves in until it hits to the punchline like a few minutes in. Like, the setup and everything just works.
I know, I'm kind of enjoying the song, actually.
Yeah.
Wait a second, I should be up there too. See, Y-M-C-A!
Say it the Y-M-C-A.
It's a medley.
I mean, to be fair, if you saw... people dressed up like village people, you'd play this song.
Oh yeah, totally.
DJ knows what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly. And that weird Native American. Yes.
Where did he come from?
Is he even there? Is he all in Wayne's mind?
I don't know.
We give that a 4 out of 10.
It seems like they quite enjoyed that performance.
Meanwhile, back at the Russian bar, I'm not comfortable with this bar.
I'm uncomfortable with a lot of things in this movie, apparently.
Especially the giant statue of Lenin in the background.
It's a bit gross.
Must crush capitalism.
Are you just doing Ani from Red... what is it? Red Dawn?
Yes.
I was going to say Red Sonja. That ain't right.
Soviet Union. I thought you... trying to remember that other Simpsons guy.
I don't remember.
Soviet Union. I thought good guys went around her. That's what you fought.
Someone put that meme up a couple of weeks ago when the whole Ukraine-Russia thing started. It's like, ha, ha, ha.
And then we're like, ah.
Simpsons got it right again.
Exactly.
Simpsons always get it right.
I'm kind of interested. Maybe it's just me, because every time I watch a film, especially when we do our commentaries, as I kind of look around what's going on in the others, I'm fascinated by this woman in the background reading a book. The woman right there, what is she? She's like sitting there just like reading one page of a book.
I don't know.
They're called extras, Bede.
Yes. But you she's amazing. Oh, well, that is true. All right, we're going to be playing Spirits in the Sky, which is going to be the most overplayed song in all of movie history. James Gunn is going to use this at least once or twice in his filmography. So everyone, prepare yourselves.
Why are you taking shots at James Gunn for? The fuck did he do to you?
What? He hasn't done anything to me yet. Yet. That is the key word.
That face.
Drop the mic, get song. It up. Yes.
You can't help but kind of dance to this song though.
Well, that's the thing though, like between this movie and the first one, they both have fantastic tracks. But of course, you know, the first one has to win out because it has Bohemian Rhapsody on it. It pretty much brought that song into the... Even though that song was already big, but it made a pop cultural...
It made a comeback.
Yeah.
But to be fair, it is the greatest song of all time. So.
Well, that is true. Take you off an officer and a gentleman. I got nowhere else to go.
Was that Lou Gossett Jr.?
Yes.
In that? Yeah.
Lou Gossett Jr. and Richard Gere. That's what the...
Yeah.
That scene sort of takes it off. Oh, hello.
It's Miss Basinger.
You gotta give Garv credit. He's punching up. Like, you gotta give him credit for that.
Punching way above his weight.
Mm.
Yep. Hello.
I mean,
partial to Kim Basinger in the first Batman film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Vicky Vale. Oh, yes. I was going to say, to be fair, I think out of the three of us, I'd probably be able to get 1993 Kim Basinger.
Yes. No argument here.
Sorry, guys.
I like how it's like Garth's hair just gets more stringy and scraggly.
Kind of like your wig.
Well, it does, yes.
Yeah.
Check out that modern, like, advanced, like, stereo system.
What did she put in there?
Yeah.
An ice cube.
Was it?
Yeah, it was like one ice cube.
I thought she was roofing him or something.
Yeah, I thought it was a pill.
You are so Garth Bede, it's ridiculous.
That is such a dumb joke, but it's funny.
It's funny.
Yeah. I've never been with a girl before.
She's very booby fair right now.
And she's just like really full on. She's like, just take me already.
He probably thinks she doesn't like him.
Imagine trying to keep your cool while filming this scene.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was reading trivia. Apparently, it was Dana Carvey who was actually wanted Kim Basinger for this part and actually kept suggesting her over and over again and actually rang her up, say, we should be in this movie. But she had not seen the first film, so she wasn't sure she wanted to be in it. And, of course, you know, it's like, oh, come on, be in this movie. And then, of course, she got sent the script. Her then-husband, Alec Baldwin, read the script, loved it, and he told her, I was like...
Look at his glasses.
And then that's why she ended up being in the film.
Oh. His glasses is what it's like wearing glasses when you have to wear your mask for the past 2 years.
Oh, that is true. That is exactly right.
Oh, my God.
I don't wear my glasses. Like, unless I'm watching TV or... You know, playing a game or something. So I haven't suffered that.
Those of us in Melbourne have suffered for 2 years, let me tell you.
Whoa.
Bede, I can't handle the fact that this is you as a character. If we mixed Garth and Moose from The Fanatic, that's you. It's brilliant.
Why do we get the feeling of, like, all these things that Garth is saying is just improvisation?
It could be.
I love that line. Take me, Garth. Where? I blow a gas and you need a jacket. And also, like, can I be Frank? Okay, can I still be Garth?
It's totally you.
I think I do mimic that kiss every now and again just for laughs.
He was flying.
Kim Basinger has that power. And she just is also has Poopy a lot of strength. And she has a
she
lot
looks
of strength.
Great
too.
In this, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Oh.
She and carried my favorite.
And here we go, one of my favorite parts. Good morning, darling. See, this is what happens, like, when you have sex for the first time. You basically become a whole new person.
Why does she have a cactus next to the bed?
Well, you know, some people are into that sort of thing, Mars.
Why not have one?
But she wanted a prick. That's when she asked for a prick, but that's not what she was referring to.
Clearly.
Indoor hockey.
They got a pretty cool pad.
I like this, like, a doll on top of Garth's, like, hockey
it's
stick.
It's a little disturbing, I'm not gonna lie.
Look at it!
I don't like it. Looks like the girl from the wherever they were before, where his long-lost sister clearly was.
It's the same character.
Well, I reckon it is.
No longer a stranger in the ways of the woman. I got first base.
Do you, though?
And of course, you know, Mike Myers has to incorporate hockey and everything because he's Canadian. So
he's Canadian, eh?
Sorry. Your friend,
so
Mike.
They haven't had any time to, like, ask the bands or singers or whatever.
Oh, they haven't yet. No, no. They haven't got the bands yet. It's like they're setting up the whole, like, stage and everything. But then it's like, oh, we need to reach out to these bands. How are we going to get the bands to come?
They all dress like him. I just realized they do that too.
Yes.
Amazing.
They're all going to dress up like it's like me, because I'm a legend.
I just think it's hilarious that, like, they look up to this guy.
I want to see, like, a movie where Dell and Trevor Slattery from the MCU are, like, housemates.
Yes.
It would be amazing.
Why is he preparing them for, like, shooting people? When did you
turn into another... Well, he's killed people with shoes. He's prepared for anything at this point. Meanwhile, at this radio station...
Meanwhile, back to some plot. Maybe.
Oh, hello, it's, my name is Wayne Campbell. Wait for it.
It's Drew Barrymore! Oh, that's right. Rare.
Bjergen Kjergen. So good.
I'm from Sweden. I'm near Bjergen Fjord.
Ja.
Yeah. I just, like, keep thinking to myself, where on earth does, like, Mike Myers get a lot of these jokes from?
I don't know.
And that's what makes him such a unique comic talent, is just, like, all these weird, bizarro jokes.
Why would Wayne know any of this stuff, like, ever?
And that's what I think it makes, at least Wayne and Garth, such fun characters, because, you know, they could easily have been portrayed as, like, metalhead meatheads, but at least they actually know what they're doing and know what they're talking about and even have, like, some intelligence to them as well, or even just know stuff that most people don't even know.
I feel like Wayne's the kind of guy who would sit down and pretend to be smart by reading an encyclopedia while someone's watching him, but actually pick up some information from it, and that's where he gets this information.
Yes. And I find it weird that Drew Barrymore's, like, outfit is basically like a fishing, like, net.
That was the style at the time.
It is.
It was the 90s.
Mm.
Exactly.
We wore a lot of weird stuff in the 90s. Like vests, for some reason.
In the 90s.
It's that guy from from Married with Children as well.
Oh, that's right. He was Marcy's second husband.
Yeah. Hey, Harry Shearer.
That's right. With all our Simpsons jokes, kind of relevant now.
That is true. He's just going to do all of his voices from The Simpsons. I keep forgetting who that guy is from Married with Children.
Yeah, he was Marcy's second husband, but I can't remember his name.
Give me 1 second.
Because, yes, the character who lived next door was called Marcy.
Oh, Ted McGinley. That's who... that's not Ted McGinley.
There could have been a Ted in there.
All right, let me find out. I think it is... Is it? Let me find out. Yeah, but it's Ted McGinley. That's who it is. That's who I was thinking of.
I'll just keep waiting for Harry Shearer to go, this is KBBL.
And we're going to give you something stupid.
Oh, Smithers. Edward's going to say random things and you're just completely ignoring us.
Is there a snout on his microphone?
There is. Because I think the radio station is...
it's WP. It's a pig
stop.
Yeah. See? The actor was called Ted. Maybe that's where I got the Ted thing from. Because it's all connected to Married with Children.
Yeah.
Got to get Ted that Bundy. Product placement in there.
There's a lot of product placement, unashamedly, in this movie.
Well, to be fair, they did make that joke in the first film, that incredible joke about product placement.
I think it's perfectly fine if they're being very self-aware about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not like in, say, a Transformers movie.
Oh, yeah.
Or the very worst I've ever seen, iRobot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With the Converse sneakers.
Yes.
Do you like my phone? He's burning his toast.
Hey, somebody like people like their toast, that bird. Weirdos, but some people
psychos.
I like. I don't mind burnt toast, but not like overly burnt toast.
Okay, Tia, we're gonna go find a better movie. So sit back and relax. We're gonna go start the Country Bears.
Maybe she doesn't want to be in the Country Bears.
It's not bears. Sleeping on bears. Top of the doona like a psycho.
That only ever happened to me once. I fell asleep on top of my doona, like at night time, but that was only because, like, I got drunk beforehand and then just, like, fell asleep on the bed and I didn't even get into the sheets. I'm a weirdo like that.
You are weird, but whatever. We've dealt with it so far.
Yes. Sammy Davis Jr. Well, technically, that's Tim Meadows as Sammy Davis Jr.
Hey, man. And you're not, and you're still not Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison.
See, they should have got Val Kilmer to play Jim Morrison again in this movie.
That would have been cool, actually. Nice to meet you, Mr. Jr. I will be right back. I need to top up my drink.
Yes.
Continue watching the movie. Thank you.
Do it. Yes. And on top of all of that, Dell's gone completely mental to complete your journey. That is so much plot for a movie that has very little plot. Keep the faith, my friend. Gotta keep the faith, my friend.
I'm gonna try and find you a Wayne's World cap for your birthday.
Should be that hard to find one.
Actually, I'm going to get you the wish.com version.
Oh, jeez. I'm scared. It'll probably just say, Wen's World.
Or as Marcy said, Wank's World.
Oh, jeez. That is scary. They're probably, that hat probably does exist. I guess my dream's real. I got like was I got sand in my bed. Nervous.
A little. Never been on the
Tia Carrera. After the show. Yeah, this was like somehow this movie was like had both peak Tia Carrera and peak Kim Basinger. Well, at least during that period in the 90s anyway. Bobby's put together some great musicians. You're making a great album. Together. You're making a great album, even though I don't have great hair. He's the best. You listen to Bobby, you're gonna be a big star. I'm trying to remember, like, what was the very first Christopher Walken film I've seen?
You what would you say it's like?
Yeah. Oh, Betty, yeah, what do you think is, what is your favorite Christopher Walken film? Tickets still available.
It's like I never left.
I was going to say at the time, since Christopher Walken is the subject of this movie.
Well, supposed to like, be.
What is my favorite movie that he's in, or what do I think his best performance is?
Ooh, maybe both. Like, what's his best performance or favorite film that he stars in?
Well, that's an easy one. Deer Hunter.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
I always liked him. There's a movie called Pool Hall Junkies. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
He's got a small part in that where he's kind of like very cool. Yeah, he's got that sort of I don't care attitude. Like, I've got enough money that, you know, I don't have to worry about shit.
What about you, Marcy? What's your favorite Christopher Walken film and performance?
Puss in Boots. For both. Both would probably be The Dead Zone, which we will go in depth at some point on the King Zone podcast.
Yes. Yes.
Because we have not discussed that yet.
I guess my favorite movie that Christopher Walken is obviously Pulp Fiction, because it's my favorite movie. In terms of my favorite performance of his, I gotta say, what in particular I do love is his performance in Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, it is really good.
He's so great in that movie.
He really is.
Been a while since I've seen that too.
Has been.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while too. So that's one I definitely want to.
He won the Oscar for that, didn't he?
Nominated, but he didn't win. What but did he did win he for win... the Deer Hunter.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry, nominated. Yeah. No. I got no memory whatsoever.
We're gonna sell.
Oh look, she's on Jay Leno. For some reason.
I see. Now, Tia, you're here to promote your new movie, Wayne's World 2, which is really weird because this is happening in the movie as we speak.
Why does your Jay Leno sound like a Cockney?
I don't know what that Jay Leno was.
It was Michael Caine coming in to sound like Jay Leno.
Yeah,
because came here because I told Jay Leno you can drive any of my cars as long as you don't blow the bloody doors off.
It's a pretty random but
they love
dress.
Me more because I'm yeah I was gonna say but I gotta say they love me more because I'm Christopher Walken. I just want to give an Oscar for all of like Christopher Walken's like suits and outfits throughout this whole film. And his hair is amazing.
So's his hair.
His hair is like, wow. And I am disturbed by that doll that's up on, like, him basing his wall.
I don't know. It's my
husband. Married?
I have no memory of this whatsoever.
Okay, based on what I remember, because again, really trivia, and I'm probably paraphrasing, so please forgive me. This whole subplot, the way where it goes, is basically a homage to the classic noir film Double Indemnity, which was basically the plot of that film, is a guy gets together with this woman, they have an affair, but then she, like, wants him to murder her husband.
Mm.
At least that's what I remember. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I probably, like, maybe have messed up the plot of the film, but that's at least kind of the idea of what they're going for.
Probably did, but that's okay.
Yes. Is that a gun in your bag, or are you just happy to see me?
His face and hair, I can't do it.
Kim Basinger is just going all in on this performance. Mm-hmm. I'm getting out of here.
His hair.
His hair looks like one of those poodles or dogs that have hair like that. It just looks weird.
I like how you refer to someone's hair like it's a dog's hair.
Yes. Oh, he's back again. I mean, if you want the bands to come, you're going to have to book them. You can't just expect them just to come. Mm. Oh, Rip Taylor. And yes, Rip Taylor is a real person. And somehow his eyebrows and mustache are glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, that is true. Cool. I wish I could grow a mustache that's like goes down and just goes up like that. Mustache. Like, has the 12 bits that go up.
Mustache.
It's a mustache.
It's like a Captain Hook mustache from Hook.
Yes.
Mm. Another great movie.
It fucking is.
It's a classic of classics, despite what anyone says.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll bitch slap anyone who says otherwise, and I don't do that often.
When I think back on Robin Williams' roles, that's the one that I think... I go back to, like, when he died, like, I was just filled with memories of Hook.
I like how this concert, for some reason, in the 90s, all the people attending are all hippies.
Because it's meant to, like, be a takeoff of Woodstock.
Yeah.
And we all know that didn't go very well on its 30th anniversary, so...
Well, that's true.
His hair's back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a man anymore. See, what they're doing right now is the secret approach. If they just believe that the bands are going to come, they will come.
And the phone just... is floating, but not floating.
Yes.
Still good. Still good.
Bobby.
Late in the film.
See, this is when you know, like, what I again love about this film and also the first one is, of course, the self-awareness of it all. Like, it's not obnoxious in a way, but it actually works.
It does.
Although the interesting thing is, though, because the first film was huge when it came out. Like, it made a ton of money. Like, I think worldwide... the movie made $183 million.
Mm.
But surprisingly, the sequel only made $73 million. It underperformed. But I think the reason was the first film opened February 1992. But the sequel opened in December 1993. And it was up against a lot of competition at the box office. Like... let me just check. What was it up against at the time? Okay. Give me one sec to find this information.
Oh, look, his sister girlfriend showed up.
Yes.
Holding a book about Unix.
Nerd.
Nerd.
Massive nerd. Oh, that paid off, like, how much later?
Way later.
A lot later.
Committing to the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Still can't find that. That's all. I know it's here somewhere. Where is it?
Where'd that car come from?
Oh, yeah. Well, when it came out... Okay, I found it. Because it came out during the December holiday season, but it was up against Mrs. Doubtfire, Schindler's List, and The Pelican Brief.
That's
the
competition
it was up against at the box office at the time.
And
of course, Take Your Father, Graduate.
And how does that still happen when you go through a tunnel?
I know, but that's it's just little gags like that that just makes me laugh. I once knew a girl on Gordon Street. It was a long time ago. Dude, hurry up! I got... Can't we get... Oh, this poor guy. It's like, yeah, we're going to get rid of you and put a better actor in.
You need someone
else. And it's Charlton Heston. So you got to give Charlton Heston for credit for coming to do a cameo in Wayne's World 2.
He probably didn't know what it was.
Where am I? What is this? Man, I got to work out.
He probably thought it was an NRA meeting.
Where are the guns? Wait, damn apes, they took my guns.
You blew it up.
Damn you. Thank you for giving me that. Now I gotta go. And I barely have any fuel left, so I only have a small amount of time to get there.
Well, it's a good thing it's not today. You wouldn't be able to afford to go anywhere.
That is true.
Not that we would know, because we didn't drive.
Oh, hi everyone. I'm the band for today's concert.
Okay
guys, the first band coming up is the Backstreet Boys. Oh, wait a minute, we gotta go early 90s.
The Backstreet Boys didn't exist then, Matt, buddy.
Okay. Vanilla Ice.
All right, perform then, Vanilla Ice.
No.
Why not?
Here, have some water.
I don't know why he put it on his head when he had a hat on.
The hat. That's what makes it funny, Buzz. That is the joke, Buzz.
I know. It's just...
And of course, the sort of taking off of The Graduate still continues.
Yes. Again, this just reminds me of The Simpsons.
Yeah, Abe Simpson on the top.
Mrs. Bouvier!
Oop, sorry, wrong wedding. Oh, the second Presbyterian church. I gotta go to the first one. And they're across the road from each other.
They're across the road from each other.
Mrs. Bouvier, I meant Cassandra! Jesus, God. And James Hogg is like, wait a minute, how did he get... Oh, yeah, I gave him the information. That's right. Did you hear me through the glass?
Why would she want to marry Christopher Walken, like, after we've seen
it makes
this stuff?
Zero sense.
It really doesn't.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, let's think about it this way. I mean, as much as... Wade is awesome. Probably Christopher Walken is probably better prospects.
Well, he has money, so...
Money and is able to help get her career.
Mm. I mean, I think we'd all marry him, so...
You crazy punk! I will fight you! Wow! Here, have a guitar!
I like how that's he lost them in there. It's just so nothing bad happens to them in there.
Exactly. Hopefully the school bus can take us to the concert. Well, that's the thing, though. Like, I mean, yeah, you got Wade Stock. They would have at least advertised, like, which bands were coming. They didn't even, like, bother just, like, trying to get the band. I mean, yeah, they would have reached out to him, but... Yeah, they would have should have got confirmation if they were going to actually come.
Why don't they just get someone to start performing by now?
Yes. See, Todd, I think you should go up on stage and drum for these people.
I don't think so.
That was shut down big time.
Well, I remember Todd back in high school. You used to play drums in high school.
It's been a very long time.
High school was so long ago, dude.
Well, yeah, that man. Is true. We're so old.
We're not old. It was just a long time ago.
We're almost as old as Mike Myers and Dana Carvey playing characters who are meant to be younger than who they are in real life at this time of this movie.
Bede, why do you keep reminding us of our age? Shut up.
I'm seriously. Still in my 30s.
I'm still in my 20s.
I'm still 14. I don't know what you guys are on about. Meanwhile, back on the Dune planet.
Where are the worms? Where are the butthole worms?
Wait a second. You're not Kyle MacLachlan or Timothy Chalamet. Well, guys, my work here is done. But Jim, you didn't do anything!
Didn't I?
Thanks a pad load, chat. Yeah.
Sure.
Pretty much like, yeah, Jim screwed them over big time.
He left them on Tatooine as well. It's especially bad if you don't like sand.
Anakin Skywalker somewhere is like, I hate sand.
It's so coarse and it gets everywhere.
Indeed. So damn vultures.
Rough and coarse and irritating. It gets everywhere.
Damn vultures, I ain't dead yet.
That's what you think.
Isn't it damn buzzards? Damn buzzards, I ain't dead yet.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. This is going to have a Thelma and Louise style ending.
Why did they need to put that on for?
Because they're filming the Wiz now. Let's just keep going. I don't know. Garth looks better with that wig than he did before.
It looks better than the other like weird wig.
Yes. Whoa! Whee!
How's that getting him anywhere?
Yeah, this is a good idea. Let's do the fun, happy ending. Yeah, let's do that.
I remember this one. I remember these.
Yeah.
Like, another thing, I suppose, again, since they had to rush this one into production, they probably had to, well, obviously you kind of reuse some jokes even from the first film, because the ending is basically exactly the same as the first film.
They really like
showing
they get
Aerosmith back again.
I'm surprised this movie got a PG-13.
So much ass.
So much ass in this movie. We got Aerosmith. And they're the only band we got, so you're going to have to play for the next all day now.
Mm. Oh, they have Cassandra.
Well, that is true, yes. Cassandra is the headliner.
Apparently. Yeah.
And he's still the size of that licorice.
They're Lady and the Tramp in it now.
It's going to be really weird when Garth and that girl find out that they are indeed long-lost brother and sister.
Well, clearly.
Well, Wayne, I don't know why you were supposed to put on this concert. Even I don't know. I was on drugs at the time.
Jesus. Being an adult means facing responsibility. That's a bit mean, babe.
It's not my fault that's what happened to Jim Morrison.
You didn't need to joke about it. Jesus.
All right. I apologize to Jim Morrison.
What did he do to you? Seriously.
What did he do to me, Marcy? What did he do?
So he died, like, well before you were even born. I don't know.
That's why. He died before I was born, and I did get to live to see his genius. Let me in. I'm Christopher Walken. But you can't. I they're all my girlfriends because I'm Christopher Walken.
I like how this just ends.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's no comeuppance or whatever. Like basically whatever.
And all the band starts showing up finally.
Yeah.
And I think I was reading in trivia. Apparently, they wanted Nirvana to come and do a cameo for. At the end as well, but it didn't work out.
Mm.
And Charlton Heston as good actor. It really does. The movie just sort of ends right there.
Right.
Even the first film had kind of like a more definitive ending.
Mm. And that's the movie.
Mm-mm.
Yes, that was Wayne's World 2. So guys, how does it feel to revisit this film after so long?
It's very interesting. Stop the movie.
I forgot nearly everything about that.
I kind of forgot like all about that movie. And I think, yeah, I do get the two like blended in my head because I think I just used to watch them back to back.
Well, pretty much, since you could easily kind of put these two together and have like, a double feature. But you can, if you were a master of editing, you could probably edit the two together and have a 3-hour extravaganza of the two of them together as one film.
Probably could do that. Yeah. But interesting to rewatch it. We probably weren't as talkative, maybe, because we're kind of just watching the movie, which happens from time to time. Similar to Airheads, because we hadn't seen that for so long and we got so invested in Airheads.
But, and also you got to remember, like this film and Airheads, they're comedies, so you can't really sort of make fun or too much of comedies. So you can only just sort of like talk about your experience watching the film and also just pointing out sort of specific things or jokes and gags and the like.
So. Well, clearly the people that vote like... movies with bands and shit in them.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
But so thank you very much to all of our listeners for voting for Wayne's World 2 for this bi-monthly fan-voted audio commentary edition of the show. Thank you, Marcy, for always being an awesome co-host. Thank you, Todd, for finally coming on the podcast as well. I suppose this was a long time coming, because you know I've been podcasting for like a million years, so it was bound to happen I would bring you on the show at some point.
No, it's great. Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Yes,
it's great.
Thank you for joining us. Finally, the two best friends have met and interacted, and now we're each other's best friends. Sorry, Bede.
And walked away unscathed.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. My mission to bring my two worlds is finally complete.
Sorry, it's the Todd and Marcy show now. Go away, Bede.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Just mute.
No. No. So unfair.
We show our love for you in the same way, just by muting
you. Do a self-mute like you did earlier a couple of times.
All right, I'm just going to mute myself from the... I'm just going to mute myself from the call right now. So thank you again so much to our listeners for listening to this show. And Marcy, where can people find us on the internet this week?
Indeed, you can always find us at supermarcy.com. And if you want to check out the easy way to see all our links, as well as being in the show notes, you can check out our link tree at linktr.ee/supernetwork. And you can find the Super Network on all your social media platforms. And you can always find the Super Podcast and all of our podcast streams on all your major podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to say howdy to me, I'm on Twitter at SuperMarcy, and I'm also on the Letterboxd at Super_Marcy.
Awesome. And Todd, where can people find you on the internet if you like anyone out there in social media land to follow you?
Probably just on Twitter. My handle is at Oodlemeister. I mainly talk about games. Gaming is my major thing, and other, you know, random thoughts that stray into my head, but you can find me on there.
Awesome. And if people want to find me personally, they can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/bjamine, or my Letterboxd account at letterboxd.com/bjamine. And of course, you can find all my work over at supermarcy.com with all my reviews and columns. So yeah, that's an end for this bi-monthly fan voted audio commentary edition of the Super Podcast. We'll be back in, I guess, June for the next one, I think.
We don't know time anymore, so we'll be back at some point.
Exactly. But the next episode of Super Podcast will be a topic theme episode, so stay tuned for that next month.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope all of our listeners enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you all later. See you, everybody. Bye.
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 Paramount Pictures presents
Extreme Closer! Whoa!
That was just like the first movie.
Wait, it's Heather Locklear. There is a God.
Heather be thy name.
And Garth.
I feel weird.
In their first movie since their last one.
What's it called?
It's called, it's called
Wayne's World 2.
Yes!
Wow.
People need to be entertained. They need the distraction.
Welcome to Makita's.
Ruler, Ugger, Ox, and a Makita cop.
What?
They've moved out of the basement.
I'm what you call Sans parents.
And into the spotlight.
Yes, and could I please have a donut and a...
Let me try to recap the order. A crawler, two sugar pucks, a Stanley cup, a large coffee with cream, a raspberry jelly donut, orange drink, and a box of five holes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's the love affair of the year.
I'm Honey. Horney.
Nice to meet you, Miss Horney.
Take me, Garth.
Where? I'm low on gas and you need a jacket.
It's the fight of the decade. The rock concert of the century.
Mr. Campbell, you're serious about putting on a rock concert.
Are you kidding? I'd give my right eye.
It's Wayne.
I promised myself I wouldn't cry.
It's Garth.
Howdy on.
It's a whole new world.
Do it, Miss Thing.
Y-M-C-A. And it's hurling your way. Wayne's World 2.
Oh, I almost forgot. This year, Garth finally got pubes.
It's the sequel you knew was coming.
You didn't tell him about my pubes, did you?
No, of course not.
The Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN.
Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN
ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised.
A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi. So just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show.
Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal.
You can also find the link in the show notes.
Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy shark doo 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 doo. Surfy shark doo 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 doo.
And now back to the show.